Pastor Chuck Swindoll said this. He said, I am convinced that life is 10% of what happens to me and 90% of how I react to it. Isn't that a great quote? And how true it is. Well, let me ask you this. How do you react when things change? Have you noticed that things change? Have you noticed that things seem to be changing more rapidly? Have you noticed that the older we get, the more we dislike change? I heard about an old farmer in Tennessee who went out and bought himself a new radio. And he took it home to the kitchen. He put it on the counter and he plugged it in and he tuned it to his favorite country station. And then he pulled all the knobs off so that nobody could change the station. So there. Some changes are fairly easy, like changing your clothes, or at least that used to be easy. Some changes are challenging, like when your health is acting up and you don't feel 100%. Some changes are actually life-altering, like when a loved one passes away. There's some things we cannot change. We cannot change the weather. We cannot change the past. Some changes are good, like the birth of your grandchildren or the birth of your great-grandchildren. But you know what? Sometimes it's we ourselves that need to change. Somebody conducted a survey of men and women who lived to be over 100 years old. They wanted to find out if there were any common characteristics among those people. By the way, did any of you participate in that survey? These were the common traits that they found among these people. The first was that they had a purpose for life. And the second was that they had a positive outlook on life. And the third was they demonstrated an ability to handle change, simply because they knew that change is a fact of life. Do I hear an amen? Change is a fact of life. Let's look at the Bible. Let's look at a character from the Bible who had some remarkable changes happen to him in his life and see how he reacted to those changes. I'm thinking of Joseph as described to us in the book of Genesis. His father Jacob had 10 sons, and in his old age along came Joseph. And Jacob, we're told, he loved little Joseph more than all of the kids, and so he gave Joseph this wonderful robe. And you know what happened, the brothers became jealous. Sibling rivalry is also a fact of life, and they became jealous, and they actually began to hate him. I can't imagine what his younger years must have been like in that circumstance. But when he was 17 years old, I mean, he's just beginning to get out there in life, 17 years old. He had a dream, and the dream was all his brothers were someday going to bow down and worship him. And he did something rather stupid. He told them that dream. Well, they didn't like that whatsoever, and they wanted to kill him, but instead they grabbed him, they put him in an empty cistern, and they waited for an Egyptian caravan to come along, and they sold him into slavery into a foreign country, and they told his father, Jacob, that he had died, that a wild animal had killed him. Talk about change. What a dramatic change in his life. He went from being loved and spoiled, maybe, to being hated and impoverished. His life turned upside down. Let me stop right there. has your life ever turned upside down? Change of that magnitude is a dangerous tool in the hands of the devil, because he wants you to become bitter. He wants you to become angry. He wants you to turn away from the Lord. And he's going to dance as soon as he sees you doing those things. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could take the knobs off the radio and control our lives the way that farmer did? But we can't. Things change. Let's get back to Joseph. When Joseph got to Egypt, things starting to look sweet and positive once again, rather than sour, because he was put into the house of a wealthy official who treated him very, very well. It was very good to him again. And in fact, the Bible says this, quote, the Lord gave him success in everything he did, end quote. Yet, it was another major change in his life. But this time it was a welcomed one. Have you ever had a welcome change in your life? In Genesis 38:6, it says this, now Joseph was well-built and handsome, which is what a lot of people say about me. I don't know exactly why, but they do. But that got Joseph into trouble, and because his master's wife wanted to get him into her bed. You see, you don't need Netflix, just read the Bible. Joseph was a young man who knew God. He knew God's word. He knew this was wrong, so he resisted her advances. But one day, it was just the two of them alone in the house, and we're told that she grabbed his cloak and tried to pull him into her bed, and he resisted, and when he ran away, the cloak stayed in her hand, and he ran away naked. Well, that did not go well with his master's wife. She fulfilled the old quote, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. At least they say that. I don't think it's true. Do you, Chris? Do you think that's true? Never mind. Whether it's true or not, she was furious with Joseph for not accepting her advances. And so she framed him. She told her husband a very different story. And Joseph's master then had Joseph arrested and thrown in prison. Yet another drastic change in this guy's life. A life interruption. But how did he react? Remember that quote from Chuck Swindoll? I'm convinced that life is 10% of what happens to me and 90% of how I react to it. Some people probably in that situation would have quit. They would have gone into some kind of shadows of depression and had Prozac for breakfast. The Bible says this, quote, but while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him and showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. The Bible makes it very clear. The Lord was with Joseph. But what the Bible doesn't make extremely clear literally, but very clearly implies, is that Joseph was with the Lord. Joseph was with the Lord. I hope people say that about all of us, that we're all with the Lord. As our hymn says, in every change, he, faithful, will remain. In other words, God is faithful all the time, no matter what kind of change happens in your life. God is faithful all the time, no matter what kind of change comes into your life. But, you know, it works both ways. We have to be faithful to the Lord. no matter what kind of change comes into our life. Do I hear an amen on that one? We have to remain faithful to the Lord. So here's yet another life-changing alteration in Joseph's life, taken from comfort and back into a prison, and yet again finding himself blessed by God. That's right, blessed by God, even though he was in prison. And I won't go into great detail about all the rest of the story. You probably know it. And if you don't, you can review it this afternoon when you get home. But Joseph successfully interpreted some dreams that eventually, of some prisoners, that eventually landed him in the presence of Pharaoh himself. And everything changed again. Joseph was again on top, rather than the bottom. And later, because of a famine in Israel, his 10 brothers came over to Egypt to get some grain. Yes, it was in charge of distributing the grain. Now, they didn't recognize Joseph, but Joseph recognized who they were. And finally, Joseph had a golden opportunity to get even with those guys that had made him so miserable. Is that what happened? No. The bottom line is that Joseph, who did walk closely with God, did the right thing in order to bring about reconciliation. That's a great lesson for me, great lesson for you. And I love what he said to his brothers at the end of the story, Genesis 50, verse 20. He said, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Life is 10% of what happens to me, and 90% of how I react to it. Now, way back in the saga of Joseph, when he interpreted Pharaoh's dream, he told Pharaoh that there would be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of want. 7 years. If you live another 7 years, can you imagine how much change is going to take place by 2031? Now take that to the next step. Joseph said in that dream that there would also be 7 years of want. That's 14 years. Can you imagine how much change is going to happen in this world by 2038? How much change do you think we would experience during the next 14 years? Well, heck, what about the next 14 months? Or the next 14 days? It's amazing. It's amazing. We are racing toward the return of Jesus Christ. And change is accelerating. It's not just a matter of getting older and feeling like things are changing more rapidly. They are. They are. Listen to this. In the Stone Age, man had to hunt and kill in order to eat. And then along came the agricultural revolution, and things changed. They began to farm and raise food for one another, and they began to organize the farming. 8,000 years later, the Industrial Revolution came along, and things changed. Only 120 years after that, the first light bulb was invented, and things changed. Only 90 years after that was the first moon landing, and things changed. Only 22 years after that, the World Wide Web came into existence, and boy, did things change. And only 9 years after that, the human genome was sequenced. Now, before I continue, let's talk about the genome sequencing. If you don't know what that is, don't worry about it. You can go look it up on Google when you get home. When that first happened, it took 13 years to complete it. And it was completed in 2003. And it cost $2.1 billion. 4 years after that, it took only 14 days to complete it at a cost of $100,000. And today, it only takes 26 hours to complete it at the cost of $1,000. Change is accelerating at lightning speed. How long did it take for new technology to reach 150 million users? Let me ask that question again because I want you to be with me. How long did it take for new technology to reach 150 million users? Well, for the telephone, it took 89 years. For the television, it only took 38 years. For cell phones, it only took 14 years. For the iPod, it took 7 years. For Facebook, only 5 years. For the internet, only 4 years and 150 million people were using it. And for Amazon, only 2 years. I can see you Amazon junkies out there. Okay, someone is quoted as saying this: we are living in a time where change is so fast that we begin to perceive what is happening in the present only after it has already happened. Imagine that. Life is 10%. Life is 10% of what happens to me and 90% of how. Let's go back to Joseph. During the 7 years of plenty in Egypt, Joseph got a wife and a son. More big changes in his life. In Genesis 41, verse 51, it says, Joseph named his firstborn son Manasseh. And he picked that name deliberately because Manasseh means, literally, forget. Forget. Here's the whole verse. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, it is because God has made me forget all my trouble. Do you need to write the name Manasseh on your life? Well, they also had another child. And he named that child Ephraim. And Ephraim literally means twice fruitful. This is Genesis 41, 51. The second son he named Ephraim and said, it is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. Have you ever experienced suffering? Do you need to write the name Ephraim over your life? When the winds of change overwhelm us, whether it's good change or bad change, we have an anchor in the storm. This is Malachi 3:6. I, the Lord, do not change. I, the Lord, do not change. This is James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like a shifting shadow. You have an anchor. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? You have an anchor in any storm in your life. Somebody said this: Everything can change in the blink of an eye. Don't worry. God doesn't blink. Hallelujah. I'm done. I tried to decide what we should sing as a result of this message. And the first thing that came to my mind was Abide With Me. There's a line in that hymn that says, change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. And then I moved on and I thought of the song, Change My Heart, O God. And it says, change my heart, O God, make me ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. And this is from the solid rock. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Amen. You have an anchor. But I landed on this. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Remember, you have an anchor. Do I hear an amen? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you and praise you that we can turn to you in every change. And you are faithful. You are faithful. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.